It is my attempt to complete this series on biblical worship. We're going to rehearse some of the things that we have looked at, as well as we focus upon the four basic primary spiritual sacrifices that God allows us to offer today. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice was an animal or some fruit, and it was brought there to the priest and left. The sacrifices today that we offer are different. But let's remember what we looked at as we started off with Warren Wiersbe's quote, that we worship God because he is worthy and not because we as worshipers get something out of it. If we look upon worship only as a means of getting something from God rather than giving something to God, then we make God our servant instead of our Lord. And the elements of worship become a cheap formula for selfish gratification. We live in a culture that is saturated with what's good for me, what's in it for me, the consumer mindset. And so people flock from church to church because I didn't like what went on there, it didn't meet my needs, it wasn't good for me. And what we've done is many times we've made God our servant, as if he is a man who has to listen to us and do what we want. We've lost the focus. Even in the first four of the Ten Commandments, you should have no other gods before you, no idols or images, respect the name of God, and set aside one day to worship him. Four of those Ten Commandments focus upon the essence of what worship is. It's all about God. It's not about us. We worship because of who he is. He is worthy. Amen? He is worthy. I remember my grandmother used to live in Point Pleasant. She passed when she was 97. She used to tell me all the time, she said, so many people go to church for all kinds of different reasons. They want to show off their newest outfit. They want to see their friends. They want to make arrangements to go out to eat. Going to church should be about God and God alone, worshiping him. That was something she understood in her life. And so true worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. We call this a worship service, but our worship for God should simply not be an hour on Sunday morning. It should be in all that we do, in our work, in our play, in our recreation, in everything that we do, we should be worshiping. So we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, and this certainly was the idea that just set aflame the Reformation, that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a direct line to God through Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so each one of us are priests. You know, in the Old Testament, you had to be born into a special family to be a priest. And if you weren't born into that line, didn't matter. You couldn't be a priest. But in Christ, every one of us are priests. The priesthood of the believer, that freedom of access that we have, to come boldly, as it says here, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And so that's going to be the summation of what we're going to talk about this morning, the four spiritual sacrifices. We've dealt with one, which we will remind you of. The privilege that we have is to worship. Our activity is that of a priest. So where does this start? Well, we learned in Romans chapter 12, it starts with our body. What do we do with our body? As I illustrated earlier, in the Old Testament, if you brought a sacrifice, you didn't bring that sacrifice home. You brought that animal was killed. It died. God doesn't want our bodies dead. He wants us alive, to be a living sacrifice, as Paul would say here. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, your reasonable service, in other words, it's the least you can do. For all that Jesus has done for us, what will we do for him? And so we learned this major point from Dr. MacArthur, that a major key in living the victorious Christian life is not getting all you can get from God, but it is in giving all you have to God. Rather than running around sort of on a spiritual journey, looking for one experience after another, more of God, we need to let God get more of us. Surrender ourselves to be servants for him. And so Saul learned this lesson very difficultly. It's not in making a sacrifice. It's not like, okay, God, I gave you an hour on Sunday morning. I went to church. I put some money in the offering plate. Now I can do whatever I want the rest of the week. That's not the idea of Christian worship. You see, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. If you were listening as I led in prayer this morning, you may have noticed the focus of our prayer. The focus of the prayer this morning was our sin. We're dealing with Christ's death this morning, remembering how he died for us, why he died for us. And it was my sin and your sin that put him on that cross. And we need to think about that. And as we think about our own sin, we're broken. We become broken. And when we get broken because of our sin, God can heal us. You've been healed by God? Praise him. Give him glory because he can heal the brokenhearted. He can lift up those who are down. And so we looked at this wonderful psalm. I admonished you to maybe write your own psalm. I don't know if you've done that. It started out as, I love the Lord because. We encourage you to write your own psalm. List all the reasons why you love the Lord. And here in verse 12, the psalmist said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And you might remember I said, if God hasn't done anything for you, then you've got nothing to give to him. But if he's done anything for you, what shall you give to him? What shall you offer to him for all that God has done? I believe that Jesus has done an awful lot for many of us that are here. We certainly have a lot to offer to him. And so we have to begin with our body. As priests, it starts with our body. Simply, you know what that means? We show up. We show up. If we show up, then we're in an opportunity of worship, a place of worship. And we use our body not as a slave to do evil, but as an obedient one to do what is righteous. Paul would say in Corinthians that he brings his body under control. He disciplines his body so that he doesn't preach to somebody and say, hey, here's what Jesus can do for you, and then he goes off and lives a life that is contrary to that. So in all that we have, may the God of peace himself sanctify you, bring you to a place of holiness. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, every part of us is to be worshiping the Lord in every way. Back in that Romans 12 passage, it talked about our mind being metamorphosized, being transformed. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch on that television. Remember, it's got an off switch. Be careful of the influences that you allow into your mind, because every single day, what we believe is being changed by what we're seeing. Our mind is being reformatted. It's possible for our mind even to create new wavelengths. Now, for some of us, we're grateful for that. Because here's what happens. Most of the time, we'll live sort of the way we were raised. Or we'll live the way our culture tells us to live. Guess what? In either case, we might not go down the right road. It is the Word of God that can reformat our minds so that we can then go down the right path. But if we don't read it, it's not going to happen. So the Bible says, let your mind be transformed. Don't let the world crush you. This world is telling the church what we're supposed to believe. Did you know that? The culture has told the church what marriage is. Is that what the Bible says marriage is? No. The culture has told the church what sex is, what gender is. Hey, they're all wet on that one. It's what the Word of God says. We choose to follow that and let our minds be transformed by it. So let's move to take your Bible and go to Hebrews with me. We're going to jump into the message of the morning. That was all a refresher on what we've seen before in our study. It's good to be reminded of some things. But we come to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and we see the second work of a priest. What was the first work of the priest? Give your body to God. God, here's my body. You know, we've got young people here this morning. The greatest decision you can make in your life is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The second greatest decision you can make is to say, God, take my body and use it for your glory. There are going to be people in your life who want to take your body and use it for their glory. Don't let them. Let your body be used for God's glory. So that's the first work of a priest. Here we have in Hebrews 13, verse 15, notice what it says. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. According to this passage of Scripture, we are to be involved in continual praise. Not just praise every once in a while. You know, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, as the guys in the service used to say. No, this is a praise that is consistent. Now, you're in the book of Hebrews. I want you to just jump over with me to the book of James, the very next book. And I want you to see what it says in James chapter 3. It's connected to this idea. So I want you to see it in James chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. With it, and that's talking about the tongue, with the tongue, we bless our God and Father. We just did that. We sang his praise. We sang the doxology. And with it, we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? So here's how it works. We're in church, and we're lifting up the name of God. We're praising him and glorifying him. And then we drive out of church, and some yahoo cuts us off. What are they doing? Why does that happen to us? That happened to me just this week. I pulled out of the bank, someone cut me off, and I was like, where'd they get their license? I didn't curse at them, you know, one of the bad words, but I wasn't very nice. And immediately, the Lord, that was wrong. Thank God for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, that was wrong for me to do that. I'm preparing a message to preach about this, and I did it. What's wrong with me? You know, why does that creep up? But you know what? If I didn't, and if we don't confess that, we do it again. We do it again. We do it again. And all of a sudden, we're doing and saying things that we know we shouldn't do, and we don't care about it. Jiminy Cricket, remember that little character from Disney? Your conscience? Hey, don't let your conscience be your guide. Because your conscience could be influenced by your parents or your culture, and it could be wrong. Let your conscience be subject to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to direct our thoughts and minds. See, worship really relates to our conscience. What am I thinking about? What am I involved in? Now, go back to the Hebrews passage. That's enough on James. He's convicted us enough. Let's go back to the Hebrews passage. And notice that in this Hebrews passage, it says that we are to offer praise to the Lord at 11:15 on Sunday morning. Is that what that says? No, it says continually. And it says, let us. That's the strongest possible way to encourage everybody to be involved. Everybody get involved in this. No one's sitting on the sidelines. You know what American football is, right? 22 people who need rest and relaxation, exhausting themselves on the football field, while 80,000 people who need activity are sitting and watching them. All right, so don't be like the people sitting and watching. Involve yourself. Participate. Let us participate in offering praise, a sacrifice of praise to God. It's more than a song. I know there's a song of that, but it's more than a song. It's really a lifestyle. And notice what the rest of the verse says, giving thanks to his name. I want you to notice that part of the praise is giving thanks. So here's the question. When was the last time? Don't speak out loud. When was the last time that you gave God sincere thanks for something? Just think about that for a moment. Now, if that was 10 or 20 years ago, it might be a problem. He doesn't want fruit that has just withered on the vine. He wants something that's fresh and new. God needs to have done something, maybe even this morning for you, that you are thankful to him for and that you offer to him praise. That is the work of a priest. The work of a priest is to bring praise to God. And once again, it's more than just walking around saying praise the Lord about everything that happens. It's much more than that. It's a consciousness of God's presence and a desire to worship him in everything. In the text in Hebrews, notice the second point. It's in verse 16, part A. the work of a priest is do not forget to do good. Do not forget to do good. There is a lot of doing good that I see in Whiting Bible Church. And I applaud you and encourage you to continue to do good. Jump back with me to Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, when we talk about good works as evangelical Christians, sometimes people shy away from that. Good works. There's people who think they're saved by good works. Well, I liked how Warren Wiersbe used to say it. Good works are the fruit of our salvation, not the root of our salvation. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's no one walking around heaven patting himself on the back saying, I'm here because all the good things I did. There's not a single person. We're there because of what Jesus has done. Amen? Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. I used to love woodworking when I was in school. Draw up the plans of what I was going to build and then go to the saws and miters and work it all out and come up with something. The Bible says here that God is the master craftsman, and that he is making every single one of us into something unique, creating in Christ Jesus, made for us to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God desires for us to do good. Like the young boy in the tenement district in New York City, in ragged clothes, he's seen with a small piece of broken mirror, holding it in his hand, and as he's moving it around slowly back and forth to a narrow slit in a window up above him, there's a light that's shining on it. And a man comes over and he hits the boy and says, what are you up to? Like a lot of kids around here, you're just into some trouble. And he says, no, sir. He says, look at that window up there. He says, I have a little brother on that floor and he's a cripple. And the only light he ever sees is the one I shine up to him from my mirror. A simple little good deed. A simple little task of doing good. That's what God created us to do. To do good deeds. To remember every day. Maybe we shouldn't let a day pass before we get to do something good for someone. In our home or at work or in our community, wherever it might be. God wants us to do good works. That's a work of a priest. Then finally, the rest of verse 16. Back in Hebrews 13. It says, but to do not forget to do good and to share. And then here is, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do you remember some people in the Old Testament who offered sacrifices and God was not pleased? You remember Uzzah? Oh boy. He didn't get to go home for lunch that day. He was in the temple and they carried him out dead. God was not pleased with his sacrifice because his heart wasn't right. Here the Bible tells us that there are specific spiritual sacrifices that you and I can offer every day, and God will accept them. He will be pleased with them. And this last one is to share. To share. I want you to come back with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let's work our way through the New Testament as we think about this idea of sharing. In Acts, chapter 2, the church is just busting at the seams. The very first day, Peter preaches and 3,000 people get saved and they get joined to the church. We've started membership classes. Imagine if we had 3,000 people in the library for a membership class. We'd have no room. Well, the first day of the church, 3,000 get saved. Look at verse 44 of chapter 2. It says, now all who believed were together. That means they were practicing unity and had all things in common. What that meant is that they shared with each other. If one person had something that another person needed, they said, you need this? Let me help you with this. Let me be a blessing to you and help you with this. They had all things in common. Come with me to Philippians chapter 4 as the ideas continued in the scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, notice verse 15, Paul says, now you Philippians, I want you to know something about you folks. You were the people who helped. He says, no church shared. There's that word shared. No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. They funded his ministry. They shared. You know what we refer, there's a word we use for that today. We bless people. We reach into our wallet, and we take something out, and we bless somebody with it. It's a financial blessing. We put something in the offering plate. We share. That's what this work of the priest is. The work of the priest is to take what God has given to us and use it for his glory and his kingdom and to bless other people when we can. God is worshiped when we give proportionately to his work and to his kingdom. And so these are the four areas in which we can bring spiritual sacrifices. Let's reiterate this. It starts with our being, a prepared heart and mind. It goes on to praise and thanks, using our lips for good. You know, we didn't even talk about this, but James said you can use your lips for really bad stuff. And you know, lips are used for bad stuff all over the place. I was taking a walk with Wilma the other day, and some guy was out washing his car, and his boys were in the street, and he had some rap music on that was using words that, whoa, those are the kind of words, if I use them, my mother would wash my mouth out with soap. You ever tasted soap, Sean? Soap doesn't taste good. You say the wrong words, and your mother puts that bar of soap in your mouth? Whoa, that's not a good day. Lollipops won't fix that. But I couldn't believe this. Dad's listening to that music. Boy, there's some bad words out there. Don't let them words into your life. You got that, Petul? Don't let those words in your life. I love these kids sitting in front. They keep me awake. If I started messing up here, they'd pull out their iPhone and start playing games and order a pizza. We'd see the pizza guy pull up. Pastor's boring. We're not going to listen to him. You with me, Lexi, back there? Okay, you're with me. Use your lips for good. And use your resources to share. You see somebody in need. I love what James says. You see somebody in need. How can you just say, well, God bless you. Have a good day. And we go home and we're happy and comfortable and that person's in need. Listen, we want to be a church that meets needs. In a couple of moments, we're going to have communion. We're going to begin, or actually continue, our monthly offerings to the Manchester Food Bank. We've been doing this since day one when I came here, helping the people in our own community. I've heard that some seniors have to eat dog food. That's pretty sick and sad. We want to help people. If they got a bill they can't pay, we want to help people. And the Manchester Food Bank takes that. You know, I came here and I said, what are we going to do? Well, let's do this. No, why recreate the wheel? That's the old saying. Why not find somebody who's doing it and we'll plug in and help them? And they're doing a great work and they share the love of Jesus as they bring it. And we want to be a part of that. We want to share. That's what the boxes are all for. Many of you are participating in that. Read that green insert carefully so you do all the things you need to do on that. And we'll bless those little children. We'll share with them. These are sacrifices that we need to continue to offer as priests. What a privilege it is that God has called us in Christ priests. The freedom of access that we have directly to the Father any time of day, but yet privileges to offer sacrifices that please Him. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we have been more than blessed by You. And we desire to give You glory and praise, and we want to be a blessing to others. And so we pray that You will help us to be that, to be the people You want us to be, in highways and byways as we work our way around. Thank You, Lord, for all the folks who are here today, every age group, that we might honor You in the things that we're doing in our lives. Living as priests, we realize the seriousness of that position. And we thank You that Jesus Christ is the one who died so that we could be holy enough to serve as priests. We can never be holy enough on our own to be the priests that we need to be. But You've made us a kingdom of priests. Help us to serve collectively for Your honor and glory in each area where You've placed us. And we give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.